Hello, everyone. I'm going to talk a bit about public transport routing. So until not too long ago, if you wanted to build an application that needs to know how to get from A to B by public transport, the options you had available weren't all that great. The most commonly used approach was using APIs from public transport operators. Those are usually proprietary, so you had to reverse engineer how to use those APIs. There's practically no public documentation available. The usage is somewhat a gray area there usually. So it might be tolerated, but it's not officially supported. So if there's any change or the API gets discontinued, there is no prior warning or communication. So we had a few cases like the widely used Deutsche Bahn API becoming unavailable a year ago. Those APIs are also usually limited to the services of that specific operator and the region in which that operator is active. Another better option in that regard are services provided by public administration. Norway is a particularly prominent and good example there. Those systems often run on free software. They have proper documentation, and you're actually allowed to use them. And they include all services in that specific region, but only in that region, right? So if you want to build an application that helps you travel in Norway, that solves your problem. If you wanted to travel anywhere else, that doesn't really help us yet. In terms of global scope, there's of course Google, but that's Google, right? So we neither can nor want to use that. So none of that is really satisfying. So what do we usually do in that case, right? We build our own. And that's how Transition started. So the idea there is to provide a routing service for public transport for free and open source public transport applications. Right, so it's not an application itself, it's the backend service for you to build such applications. It's entirely run by the community, so there's no conflicting commercial interest that would interfere with that. It has a global scope, right? So we don't care about operator limits, we don't care about regional boundaries, so it doesn't matter if we had like a national railway system there or just one Bürgerbus in one tiny village, right? All of that is welcome and important. It's entirely built on top of free software. The heavy lifting is done by Motis as the routing engine. That's a much older project than Transitions itself. And then we build an data import and pre-processing pipeline around that to feed Motis. And it is entirely built on top of open data. And there's a bunch of different data sets that go in there. The backbone is schedule data. So that's basically the same that you see on the paper plans on public transport stops. That typically changes on a scale of weeks or months. On top of that, we have real-time data, so that is delays, service alerts, or even the exact positions of buses and trains. That is usually updated once a minute. Then we have information about sharing vehicles, right? So that is the position and availability of like sharing bikes or e-scooters. For the latter, also things like the remaining battery range and similar details. And then, of course, OpenStreetMap for the world in which all of that happens. And for this, we then provide a number of APIs. The most obvious one is journey planning. So that's how do I get from A to B. And we not only have like stop-to-stop routing, but we have full door-to-door intermodal routing. So that means the result would be something like from your home, take your bike to that bike parking position, then walk to that station, take a train, change to a bus, from that bus, walk around the corner, pick up an e-scooter, and drive to your destination. With tons of options for your specific routing needs or preferences. Then there's, of course, departure board API. So that is for the bus stop in front of my home, give me the next 5 departures. Of course, we're available with real-time information about delays. Then there is one-to-N routing. That's what's often displayed as isochrone. So that's what we have on the screenshot on the right. So that's like how far can I get within 20 minutes from a given starting position. So if you want to find a conveniently located hotel for this event, right, then you see you can check if that is easily reachable from here in on the map. Then there's, of course, geocoding, so that's the SU type search for stops. And we also have API to check for the availability of sharing vehicles in a specific area. That's not all, of course. There is a bunch of more stuff that is currently being in the process of being rolled out to the production system. One of that is support for on-demand services. So that's particularly important in rural areas or outside of the main service hours, because often there is nothing else available in these places. There is also basic support for computing prices. The problem there is that the required data is only available in a few in very few areas currently. I think mainly cities in the US. I think there's one place in France where we have that. But the software side for that at least is there. Then another new thing that I find particularly exciting is integrating elevator real-time status information in routing. So that is, if the elevator is currently broken, right, then it's not considered for routing. That might sound like a niche because we can feature, but it's actually very essential if you're in a wheelchair. So imagine you're on a railway platform, right, and the only way to get off that platform is one elevator, and that is currently broken, right, so you're stuck there. So if we can help avoid people from ending up in such a situation, right? That is that's actually quite helpful. We also recently got support for elevation data, so you can for routing make a trade-off between steeper climbs or longer detours for pedestrian or bike routing, and then. Another recent addition is support for ride sharing. I think we currently only have a data set in the German state of Baden-Württemberg for this. But of course, that's adding yet another important mode of transportation to all of this. It also doesn't stop there. There is currently people looking into empirical delay information. So you would get something like, you have a 10-minute connection, but given past or historic data, there's only a 70% chance of actually making that connection. So in case that fails, right, there's your backup option. Something you're probably very unlikely to see from the operator systems. And another topic currently being looked at is dynamic traffic data. So something that is currently something that only the likes of Google have, but having that in a free and open way would also be great. This all started slightly over 2 years ago and has grown quite a bit since then. We have more than 3,000 data feeds going into this from more than 60 different countries. It doesn't mean that all those countries have full coverage, of course, but it's actually quite substantial already. The screenshot, every little colorful dot in there is a currently running long distance transport, so a train or a long distance bus. There's more than 120 people who have contributed to this, which is actually quite important because a lot of this needs on the ground knowledge to actually, you need to know what's available in terms of public transport services and then match the data to reality. During peak times, so European afternoon, American morning, on a workday, we have more than 300,000 concurrent trips. So that's trains, buses, trams, metros, ships, airplanes, funiculars, suspended monorails and whatnot going at the same time somewhere. And in total, for the, I think about a year range we have imported, we have more than 1 billion trips that the router can select from. Hungary has an actually very dense long distance bus network so that you can spot that on the map. And we'll get a bit to data availability and coverage later. As you can already see on this, right, it's not uniformly distributed. So there is some gaps towards the southeast. We also have an increasing amount of applications built on top of this. So it started with the usual journey planning apps. Then we had the travel tracking apps like Traveling Following. More recently, there were a bunch of smart home integrations. So you can have your local departure board on your smart mirror. And the most recent one was some kind of Wordle-like game where you have to guess the correct routing. So people get really creative on what to build on top of that, which is actually super cool, right? It's not something we had originally anticipated, but it's super great. So there is, of course, a lot of software development involved in this, but I think most of the work is in finding and correcting and polishing the data that goes into this. Right, as we already saw on the map, right, it's not the same coverage everywhere. In Europe, in theory, the EU mandates that operators publish this information. This doesn't mean that is actually happening everywhere. That regulation, unfortunately, doesn't have any kind of sanctions. So not doing this has no consequences. But besides the actual availability, also the level of detail varies a lot. So you could get anything from there's a train going from A to B to the train going there is this specific model of a high-speed train with these accessibility properties and these amenities on board, right? So we, of course, would like to have more of that. In some cases, we can augment this with external data. in some cases, we need to bother the operators to provide more more data. Something that also came up in this context then is the distinction between, let's say, voluntarily opened data, so things that the operators actually publish themselves, and then data that the community by various creative means made openly available. This can be anything from people taking pictures of paper schedules and then making that machine readable, to, I think, in Czechia, the local community sued the operator under the Freedom of Information Act twice and won twice. No matter how the data actually became openly available, we all consume that. So, and if you saw the talk this morning at 10 o'clock here about the monitoring the radio broadcasts from cars, trams, and buses, that would also be a perfect source for feeding data into this. The second big topic is, of course, the data quality. As I said, we have more than 3,000 data feeds going into this. There is, of course, overlap between them. So making sure this all properly aligns and is merged together is a major challenge. For example, services going across the border, some operators cut this off at the border, some contain the, or some include the full line, some include a reduced level of detail on in the foreign part of the trip, so just dropping some of the intermediate stops for whatever reason. That's then stuff we need to sort out. Then there is, of course, the mismatch between data and the reality. That's, like with OpenStreetMap, something where we need people on the ground to actually verify this and then identify where the problem comes from. And in most cases, it means then talking to the operator or the local agency, which is best done in the local language, in order to resolve this. And of course, every thinkable and unthinkable error in that data can happen. I think the most famous one we had is the so-called Aachen time vortex. So there is a bus line somewhere close to the German-Dutch-Belgian border town of Aachen that claimed to travel 4 hours into the past, which sounds like a nicely localized problem. But the problem is that routing algorithms are at the same time very, very clever and very, very dumb. So if there is a shortcut, they will find it. And traveling 4 hours into the past, I mean, so taking 10 transfers to get onto that bus and then back on your original route just to save you 5 minutes to arrive earlier, right? So that seems to make sense. Which then means in a several hundred kilometer radius, every possible connection goes through that bus. It's fun things to debug. By now we have safeguards against that, but then people invented wormholes. So there's a lot of fun with this. There is another data set that thankfully is of much, much higher quality that is super important for us, and that is OpenStreetMap for the first and last mile routing, but also for the transfer routing, especially in combination with the elevator data. If there's things in OpenStreetMap that might need fixing, it's usually related to multi-story indoor routing, something that happens in larger train stations, because that's something you don't see on the normal OpenStreetMap map, whether things are correctly sorted vertically. And most recently, we also started to use that for computing the actual route shapes. So that's the correct path that a bus or a train is taking, because more often than not, that was garbage in the official data. So computing that ourselves produces much nicer results. And I think when we started, we wanted something that solves the journey planning use case for us. But once we had the basis, people started to do all kinds of cool stuff around that on top of that platform, way more than we had there to dream of. So one area is like filling gaps in the official data by sourcing the data by alternative means. So there's people working on crowdsourcing real-time delay data. So if you are using a travel tracking app like Traveling Anyway, right? So that knows on which bus or train you're on, you have GPS in there. So if we could collect that position and compare that to where the vehicle is supposed to be according to the schedule, right, we can derive delay information from that. There's also people looking at publicly available broadcast data like the AIS ship transponders, so to get delay information for ferries. Right, and the work from this morning doing this on the Graz bus and tram services would fit into this as well. There's people looking into building more free software solutions for the operator side, so the data producer side, starting with things like Bürger buses, so small community-run non-profit bus services. They could have had their own departure boards and journey planners and whatnot before as well, but it's just an enormous effort. We now have the platform. If they just feed in the schedule for their bus service, right? There's no reason why they couldn't have the same dynamic departure boards as the big operators as well. And people start to build all kinds of weird special purpose applications on top of that platform. At another event, we met somebody from somebody doing the logistics for some kind of World Scout event with like 40,000 attendees next year in Poland. And getting several thousand kids from all over Europe optimized on trains to get there in time is actually surprisingly complicated. So they are building their own routing optimizers on top of that. And we by now seem to have, beyond what Google and Apple have, one of the largest integrated data sets of public transport all over the world. So there's people in science and research using this to benchmark their work against. And I think this is by now the most exciting thing for me in this project, to see what kinds of cool things people start to build on top of that or to extend this. I think that's basically it. If this is interesting to you, or if you want to use this or build applications on top of that, the Transition Matrix channel is the place to be for this. If you're interested in the larger topic of free and open source software and open data in public transport, we have a dedicated open transport conference in October in Bern, Switzerland. So that might be of interest to you as well. Yeah, thank you.